From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton, sitting in for Bob Boylan, who's been away at the All Tomorrow's Parties Music Festival. We'll have more on that at the end of the show, but first we've got a whole bunch of new songs from albums that aren't even out yet. This week, NPR Music is offering exclusive previews of more than a dozen full unreleased albums, including work from The Walkmen, Blonde Redhead of Montreal, Mavis Staples, and much more. You can hear all of them in their entirety by going to npr.org/firstlisten. On this edition of All Songs Considered, we've got a few highlights from the mix. We start with a new solo album from Robert Plant called Band of Joy. Plant is obviously famous for his rock vocals in Led Zeppelin, but in recent years, he's shown an incredible range and depth to his voice and music styles. If you haven't heard it, check out the record he did with Alison Krauss a couple of years ago called Raising Sand. For his new solo album, Plant teams up with Nashville songwriter and friend Buddy Miller. They've put together a beautiful celebration of folk, blues, and rock. From Band of Joy, this is the opening cut called Angel Dance.
Don't
That's Robert Plant from his upcoming album Band of Joy. Band of Joy is actually the name of a group that Plant and Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham were members of in 1965. That was before they were in Led Zeppelin. As we've noted before on All Songs Considered, Merge Records is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year and is about to put out a new album from the band that got the whole label started. Superchunk and its founding members originally started Merge Records as a way to put out their own music. The label has since gone on to release some all-time great records from Spoon, Arcade Fire, Neutral Milk Hotel, and many more artists. Superchunk hasn't put out a new record in nearly a decade, but it's back now with an album so good it feels like they never left. It's called Majesty Shredding, and this song is Digging for Something. That's Superchunk with the song Digging for Something from the upcoming Merge Records release, Majesty Shredding. Mac McConn and Laura Balance founded both Superchunk and Merge Records. You can hear an interview with them and some great music in the All Songs Considered archives. Just go to npr.org/allsongs and search for Merge Records. We've got a great range of new music for you to hear as part of this week's First Listen Bonanza. There's neo-soul from singer Bilal, country blues from Justin Towns Earl, and Nortec from our next band, Bostich and Fusible. Nortec is a fusion of two styles, techno and traditional Mexican music. On Bostich and Fusible's new album, there's more emphasis on the electronics and dance beats than Mexican horns or accordions, but it's no less inviting. Bostich and Fusible's new album is Bolivar 2000, and this song is called Centinela.
The story starts, it was a late November night. She had a flower in her hair, he had his uniform on tight. Patrolled the watch like nothing else was wrong. She danced by him with her face as pale as dawn. He looked into her eyes and saw nothing there. He said, "Excuse me, señorita, but I don't believe we've had the pleasure." She said, "Of course you know me, I'm here every year. But don't you get too close when I'm dancing, my dear." He thought, "How can I not fall in love with that? A pretty little woman with an attitude to match." He reached for her hand and she wasn't impressed. She wanted little to do with his gentle caress.
Yeah.
That's Bostich and Fusible from their upcoming album Boulevard 2000. The song is called Sentinela. Bostich and Fusible are part of a bigger group from Tijuana in northern Mexico worth checking out called the Nortec Collective. Also on our exclusive First Listen series this week is a new album from the hip-hop artist Black Milk. Black Milk is otherwise known as the rapper and producer Curtis Cross. His latest release is called Album of the Year. It's not as brash as a lot of hip-hop albums I hear. It is bold, but almost vulnerable at times, with some great wordplay. From Black Milk and Album of the Year, give a listen to this song. It's called Warning, Keep Bouncing.
Celebration that started already on round four. Yo, yo, I show you the vision as if it can't show. For show, I paint a perfect picture like a Van Gogh.
What?
VIP red rope, but still grimy like a city where many can't go. These finest of drinks and many paid for. Can't go out to a spot where Henny can't flow.
What?
Pay right, stay right with the flow. I hate music and to get a life like the clothes. So, of course, we supply the fire that'll bang. You would think it was the 4th of July. That's why in the air, out of here, you can find a few months after year. Yeah, I'm on Europe time. I'm on this mission on a ride, sky high, while others are in fall down fast as a skydive. How you really want it? Me and my nigga on it. But the streets is warning, it's foreign, you can't ignore it. Take it as a warning, you want it, so keep it going. You gotta another day, the games done went soft, but here's something to play. Airwaves to the club, fans in front of the stage. Hands up to the ceiling, hands in front of your face. Atmosphere's bubbling, couple shorty stumbling. Now they think they're cool enough to call you by your government. Caught in the moment, so I probably shouldn't have dipped. Like dark, couple liquors that I probably shouldn't have mixed. But keep it moving, no snoozing, awake. Why does it get stay posted like moves in the paint? I'm all about the grands, that's how I was led. Now Stevie more like Wonder, cause I'm all about the bread. But if we ain't fam, most likely I ain't a fan. Plus my fam hold heat like Yosemite Sam. With the glitz and glam, with hands full of grands and chicks that stand and pose for pics for the cams. How you really want it? Me and my drinking on it. But the streets is warning, it's foreign, you can't ignore it. Take it as a warning, you want it, so keep it going. You gotta
That's Black Milk from his latest release, Album of the Year. The song is called Warning, Keep Bouncing. Album of the Year is out on September 14th. The Bad Plus is a trio that's made a name for itself by turning classic rock and pop songs into jazz instrumentals. They've covered work by bands such as Nirvana and Blondie. But on the group's latest album, The Bad Plus serve up a mix of all original songs. It's the first time the band has ever made a record without cover tunes. And while The Bad Plus excels at reinterpreting other bands' work, this new batch of tunes shows it's hardly necessary. From The Bad Plus, the album is called Never Stop, and this is the title track.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bad Plus, the album is called Never Stop, and that's the title track. A reminder that you can hear the entire record, along with more than a dozen other unreleased albums, in their entirety, streaming now on NPR Music. Just go to npr.org/firstlisten. So earlier in the program, I mentioned the All Tomorrow's Party's Music Festival, which our very own Bobby B. attended, and he's here with us now to tell us a little bit about what he saw.
All Tomorrow's Parties is this absolutely, look, if you have any chance next year, look at the schedule for All Tomorrow's Parties, and if you have any opportunity, do it. It was honestly, Robin, one of the best music festivals I've ever been to. It's an old resort in the Catskill Mountains, a sprawling hotel with, you know, a swimming pool, a couple of stages. And it's filled up, you know, it's an old Jewish resort. So this is the kind of place that Sammy Davis and Sinatra and Don Rickles and, you know, all those, the classic acts from the 60s, both comedy and music, would play at. And these ballrooms were the ballrooms that, you know, you would see Sun and Boris and or Sonic Youth at this time. And it was quite amazing. I used to go to these places when I was a little kid, so I have fond memories of seeing stuff in the 60s, but this is very, very different and extraordinary.
Well, from what I've read about the festival, it seems a lot smaller, a lot more intimate than something like a South by Southwest or Bonnaroo.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing, first of all, only with two stages, and you're dealing with, you know, I think the amount of people possible here is probably about 3,000. I don't know if they sold out, but they did pretty well. And then there are films going on. There's comedians. There's lounge acts going on as you walk through the hallways. There's all sorts of stuff. There's art exhibits and this beautiful pond. You can sit and watch the sun go down, which, you know me, I did.
And rainbows. And
I saw Venus, but...
So one of the things that distinguishes All Tomorrow's Parties from other festivals is that it's curated by other artists, at least in part. And we spoke with Jim Jarmusch a couple weeks ago about the festival. And tell us a little bit about what you saw, what he managed to put together, some of the bands that he...
So All Tomorrow's Parties is a organization that's been doing festivals for about 10 years in England. They've done 3 years' worth in America. Last year, Flaming Lips did some curation. Jim Jarmusch did Sunday, and we'll talk about that. But All Tomorrow's Parties also were the ones that bring lots of the acts that came hadn't happened on Friday and on Saturday. It leaned heavily on 90s nostalgia bands and doom metal and very psychedelic bands, and that was nice. But then you also had a lot of new bands. You had, you know, Girls, and you had Effed Up, and so there was a mix of, like, old and new. It was kind of a real great thing happening here.
In the lineup, though there were some bands that you've seen and heard at a lot of other festivals, the lineup, to me, really stood out as something unusual, a mix you don't normally see together.
Yeah, you could, I mean, bands, look, they hop on these circuits, so it's summer festival time, and so you will see Andrew Bird at a number of festivals, you'll see, you know, all these different acts at many festivals. Well, this one's different, and that's the reason why it's worth the price of admission. I saw 31 bands, I think, and I think I saw 30, and and out of those, I maybe only have seen three or four of them before.
Oh, wow.
And that's a pretty good percentage, so that was my reason to want to go up, because there's a lot of things I just have never, ever seen.
Well, tell us about some of the ones you did see.
Yeah, Friday night was this short night. It just starts late, you know, it started at 7 and ended at, you know, 11 or 1 or whatever, and it was a series called Don't Look Back. It was bands doing... entire albums, the highlight of which was Iggy and the Stooges doing Raw Power.
Wow, I can't, what an incredible album, and to see them do the whole thing start to finish.
Yeah.
What a rare treat.
It was a rare treat, and I saw Iggy in the 70s, I've seen Iggy in the last 5 years, and I saw Iggy that night, and everybody, including myself, thought, never have I seen him perform that way. He was extraordinary. Look, he was more than human. I mean, in a way that the guy's 63 and he's stage diving in the crowd. He's when the music was over, he just kept dancing on stage. He just wouldn't stop. I just don't know how he does it. And you can see when he walks, he's got terrible knee problems, and when he walks, he's really just limping away. Wow. But when he's performing, he is there. His voice sounded great.
I remember his publicist telling me one time that he comes out on stage like he's been shot out of a cannon. And I thought that's a perfect way to describe what he's like on stage.
Yeah, I think so too. And the bassist, Mike Watt, who you wouldn't know this from playing, when the show was over and Iggy was waving goodbye and Mike waved goodbye, a stagehand came real quickly, dropped two crutches in front of Mike, and Mike hobbled off on his crutches. And it was a really powerful moment because he'd been playing really hard and doing some crazy bass playing, and then you just see him walk off.
Wow.
And then Iggy, who could barely walk after doing this incredible performance, hobbling off too. I mean, these folks are old, but the music was really good. Mm. So that's one. Sleep followed them, and I've never seen Sleep before. They're a 90s sort of doom metal, very stoner kind of band. One of the loudest things I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, look, the other thing about this festival and the reason to go is the best sound I've ever heard anywhere ever. That's it. That's all I can say is I've never heard sound like this in a sound system. And Sleep were the perfect band for that. It was just absolute raw guitar, thick guitar, psychedelic guitar for 2 hours.
It just made I'm in heaven. Yeah, I'd be there.
Yeah, and so was the crowd. It was, I think, even though two more days were to follow, and even though we'd only seen 4 or 5 hours of music, I think everybody felt like they could go home Friday night and having had it just the perfect time. But then two more days happened. So Saturday starts off with, it's either Sian Allis or Sean Allis. I don't know. It's S-I-A-N. I never heard of them before. Mm. Fantastic. Again, another psychedelic band. Beak, we talked about on the preview show. They were fantastic. There's a group called Shellac, never saw before. They were phenomenal. A trio that reminded me of a really progressive King Crimson, if King Crimson were a punk band. Mm. Just phenomenal band. Bardo Pond was a very psychedelic, dreamy band. Papa M, who is was this very, after loud music for like 7 hours that day and 4 hours the night before, was this very, very dreamy guitar-based music that was just perfect. And I sat on the floor, cross-legged, listening to Papa M, eventually laid down on my back in the room toward the back of the room. And when I got up, there were about 70 or 80 people laying down on the floor around me, including Lars and a few other people I knew. And it was just a stunning, wonderful...
NPR music producer Lars Gottrich, who went with you. It's a tough job, Bob.
Somebody's got to do it.
It's the salt mines.
And then the books. The books were just remarkable. They do these montage collages with film. Look, a lot of people did lots of noise music with imagery behind it that just happened to be there, as far as I was concerned, not composed. The books were, you know, their music is composed for the films, and the films go precisely with the music, and it was just a fantastic experience to have something that was so well thought out.
Yeah.
And then Sonic Youth played that night, closed the night out, and I don't think they played a song that was younger than 30 years. They played a lot from Daydream Nation, but they also... played lots of old songs. I think it was just a great old set. People wonder if they would do a noise set because of the nature of the festival, or they do good old songs, and they did good old songs. Thurston Moore came back the next morning, so they closed the night, and the next day he came back and did a solo show of 12-string guitar songs. It was a really beautiful way to start the day, and then was joined by buddy Bill Mace to do a noise set, which left me a little cold, but it was still thrilling to hear on the sound system that was there. And then, again, a number of bands I'd never heard of. White Hills was a very psychedelic half-guys, half-girls band that I liked. Wooden Ships were... it's hard. I can just sit here and try to describe them, but it's worth just noting that a lot of these concerts will be online, so save my description, go listen to the shows. Wooden Ships was a band that we're going to pursue and try to get their set online. I love them. And T-Model Ford, North Mississippi blues artist, 90 years old.
I had no idea he was that old. He looks great, too.
Yes, he does, and he tried to pick up lots and lots of women.
God bless.
Yes. Girls was a group I only caught 15 minutes of, and I just love. They're one of the newer bands, so I'm going to go back and listen to some of their songs. Great pop, really wonderful energy on stage, charismatic lead singer, loved Girls. But there was nothing more stunning Robin, than my experience at the end of the festival, which was Boris, who's a Japanese metal band, and Sun, an American band, who have put together, who did a record called Alter. They've only performed it once. They performed it this night with Jesse Sykes as the lead singer on just a couple of songs. Sonically, it was the most incredible experience I've ever had in my entire life. And I don't, you know, I can exaggerate.
Going all the way back to seeing Dark Side of the Moon,
yes,
performed live by Pink Floyd.
That's right. It was right there. It was it was exciting and amazing as that. And they, it was one of those things where every hair on my body was vibrating. Every single, it wasn't like a thumping annoying. It was just, it was a sensation that was beyond just hearing.
Wow.
And before the show, I'm standing around, some guy's got this box of earplugs. And he looks at me and he says, you know, like nodding at me, earplugs. And I say, and I was giving him, you know, I don't usually wear earplugs. I was kind of like, nah, I don't know. And he said, he gave me the thumbs up and looked at me and lipped the following words, "You want earplugs." So I took them from him. I put them
and
in.
And are you glad you did?
And I did. I took them out a little bit. It wasn't piercing loud.
Yeah.
It was just vibrating loud. The band comes out in lots and lots of mist, you know, smoke machines. They come out in black hooded outfits. It could almost be comedic if it wasn't so dramatic. It was really absolutely phenomenal.
It does sound a little like Stonehenge.
It did. It did, but it was too good. Yeah. It really did just it transcended that. The possible comic aspect of it was gone. Even when the guy hit the gong, it was still okay.
In his black robe.
It was really so. Sun and Boris and Alter, one of the best experiences of my life.
Well, that show sounds amazing, and we hope to get the whole thing up online along with a number of other concerts that you recorded from the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival. But let's listen to something now.
Great. Just a big thanks to WFMU who did these recordings. They'll have some coverage on their site, but on our site we'll have about 10 shows. I think the thing to play would be the Iggy Pop, and it was just because of, I think there's some familiarity everybody will have with this, and it's really worth hearing what was one of the most talked about moments of the festival very early on. Him doing No Fun as a closer.
So many bands on that performed that I have to admit I'd never heard of before, but this would have been the one that I think I would have been most excited to hear, at least going into it.
Yeah, and the Stooges played great. I mean, you know, Ron Ashton had died, and they still managed to carry on, and carry on they did. The crowd went crazy.
So let's give a listen to No Fun. This is from Iggy and the Stooges. It was recorded this past Friday night, the opening night of the All Tomorrow's Parties Music Festival. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Yeah, you bet.
And as we go out on this, just a quick reminder that we'll have entire concerts online, just some select shows that we recorded at the All Tomorrow's Parties Music Festival. We'll have those up on the NPR Music website a little later on this week. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.
Well, come on. But all I really want to say is, now bye!